I'm going to be reading Romans 3:20. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. Praise God.
Once again, good morning and happy Sabbath. Beautiful day that we're going to have out there today. Sun shining. We're in here with sunshine in our hearts. Come to worship our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Pray and thank thee and see all the people that are here, especially our visitors. Pray that you have a warm welcome on this holy Sabbath day as we worship together and hear the word of God this morning. Everybody that uses Maple Avenue here, get down there a little ways, it says 25 miles an hour. How many anybody uses that? How many goes by that 25 miles an hour? I got a couple of hands here. Well, I had to go there this morning, coming and going through times and going. I got partway, about halfway down, and I remembered, so I slowed down to 25. Coming back, the same thing. I got partway through it. I had to slow down again. I can't remember these things, I guess, that we're supposed to obey the law. And it's the same with this one right here. This law. These commandments that God has given to us. To guide and direct each one of our lives as we are children of the living God. And we know that they are in effect today, no matter what. And as we go to study today's lesson here and look at it, that I have for us the law before Sinai. We will Sabbath school in lesson 6 in a couple of weeks. We'll be studying it more about the law before Sinai and why it was given. We know that the sanctuary in the service in its service was given to present the Messiah to the people and always to keep Jesus Christ before him in the work that he had, was laying out for them. But what was the reason for building the sanctuary? What was the necessity for giving them the law at Sinai? We know that we've studied it, and we know that we had some of the answers, maybe not all of them. But this morning, we're going to look at some of the commandments before Sinai and how they were in effect and everything else. So let's have a word of prayer. Our kind and gracious Heavenly Father, as children of the living God, to be your representative, to thank thee and honor thy name on this holy Sabbath day, thanking you for your grace, for your great love by sending your Son to this earth, and the mercy that you give upon us, Father, undeserving, but the mercy that we may have through the merits of Jesus. And so as we study the Word of God, we just pray that we will put it to practice in each one of our lives, knowing that as we read the Old Testament and the New Testament, these words that were written so long ago, putting into modern language so that we may understand them, we just ask for the guidance of the Holy Spirit to be with each one of us this morning. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Thou camest down also upon Mount Sinai and spakest with them from heaven and gavest them right judgments and true laws, good statutes and commandments. Nehemiah 9:13. We know that the Decalogue was given to the Israelites on Mount Sinai. And Paul says in Romans 10:4, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Everything in the law in one form or another was a means in the hands of God. It was had an end to accomplish, and we know that that end or that object was Jesus Christ, his Son, our Savior and our Redeemer. And God's purpose was for Christ was to be seen through everything, and it was, especially as the sanctuary services was given to the people of Israel. It pleased the Father that in him all fullness dwell. Colossians 1:19. There was a need for Christ. And the question arises, what was the cause that the people should have to have a Christ, a Messiah, a Redeemer, a Deliverer? And the same with us today as it was back then. And we know that the answer comes quickly. It's sin. Adam sinned. We read that in Romans 5:12. Talk about it in Romans 6:23 for the wages of sin. Romans 3:23. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And I believe the most famous verse that everybody should know, John 3:16. The whole world was involved in sin. And the whole world needed a deliverance from sin and from its terrible consequences. We know what sin is. 1 John 3:4. God's definition of sin is a transgression of the law. And without transgression, this law, there is no sin. And many people believe today that they don't think about anything that they do with sin. But we know that that is not right. We need to know which law is that it defines sin and which one was man that transgressed. Both Apostle Paul and James answer the question. And that's the first one, Romans 7:7. If you would turn to Romans 7. Romans 7:7. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I have not known sin but by the law, for I had not known just lust, except the law has said, thou shalt not covet. In James chapter 2. Verses 9 through 11. But if ye respect to persons, ye commit sin, and are convinced of the law as transgressors. For whosoever shall keep the whole law, and yet offend in one point, he is guilty for all. For he that said, do not commit adultery, said also, do not kill. Now if thou commit no adultery, yet if thou kill, thou art become a transgressor of the law. From this text, we can learn that the law which points out sin and the violations it is because of that was the downfall of Adam. And then through the entire human race is what is generally known as the Decalogue, the Ten Commandments, the law of God, the moral law that is designed to be kept by everyone. But who first knew the moral law? We may say that Adam didn't know this law, that he never received it. There's no specific detail recorded to that fact. But it is evident from Scripture that one can read that he must have been acquainted with it. Along with the evidence given, we can also quote Isaiah 43:27. The first father hath sinned, and thy teachers have transgressed against me. Very early on. But from these inspired words given, we know that not all the details of the commands were written down. They were not recorded. But Adam knew them otherwise. And nevertheless, the Talmud specifies certain commands that Adam had received, and which just show that there was a general belief of the Israelites that Adam knew the law. I'm quoting from a book called The Law of Kings. Concerning six things, the first Adam was commanded: against idolatry, against blasphemy, against murder, against adultery, robbery, and concerning the administration of judgment. although we have these things given to us only through Moses, our master, orally, and reason naturally leans that way, yet from the direct words of the law, it does not appear that they were commanded. And later at Mount Sinai, they were. Sin is a transgression of the law, but where there is no sin, there is no transgression. Only by the law can we have the knowledge of sin in our lives. And it shows that before the Israelites could appreciate that work of salvation, they had to know things and learn things. They needed to understand the nature of sin and its consequences. So it was necessary for God to pronounce his laws at Mount Sinai. They would have to know what sin would do in their lives. But they lost that knowledge of God. And we see today that many people have lost that knowledge also. They don't have the knowledge that we may have. The Lord, the God, Creator God, who gave his Son that each one of us shall live. The Israelites, while in Egyptian bondage, largely lost the sight of that knowledge of God and his Son and the laws. Sometimes I used to think that it wasn't their fault. But surely going down into Egypt, it only started with 70 people. But then over the ages, it grew and grew. So sometimes I thought maybe they had an excuse not to know it. But we know that that is not right. Because mingling with the heathenism and the idolatry, they lost almost all the knowledge that God had given to the people before them. And this law was entrusted to them to one day give to the world. And that was one of the reasons that they were brought up out of Egypt, so that they could do that. And we could see part of that in Psalms 105. It's verses 37 through 45, but I'm not going to read all of them. Verse 37. He brought them forth also with silver and gold, and there was not one feeble person amongst their tribes. Verse 43. And he brought forth his people with joy and his chosen with gladness. Verse 45. That they might observe his statutes and keep his laws. Praise thee, the Lord. They were given physical deliverance from the servitude that they were there. But that was minor compared to the deliverance that they needed, from the deliverance from sin and spiritual Egypt. Jesus tells us that there is a spiritual Egypt and a literal one. Revelation 11:8. And their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt. If they had only appreciated the Lord in his salvation, the same with us, if we would only appreciate the Lord in the salvation, his constant power would have been manifested in their lives and be manifested in each one of our lives. So it was necessary on the part of God to give his law in order that they might see the sinfulness of their sins. And the same with us today. God also wanted to be their friend, and he wants to be our friend today also. That they might have known the law before Sinai is evident from many of the recorded words that we read. In the first part of the Pentateuch, before the Decalogue was given, they can read that there. In Genesis 26:5, because that Abraham obeyed my voice, he kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. This shows that God gave Abraham laws, commandments, statutes, and Abraham kept them. So let's look at some of the records showing the commands that God were known to, the laws that were God, people who knew and were operating in operation before Sinai. The first commandment, Genesis 35:2-4. Genesis 35. Then Jacob said unto his household and to all that were with him, put away the strange gods that are among you, and be clean, and change your garments. And let us arise and go up to Bethel, and I will make thee an altar unto God, who answered me in the day of my distress, and was with me in the way which I went. And they gave unto Jacob all the strange gods which were in their hand, and all their earrings which are in their ears. And Jacob hid them under the oak which was by Shechem. And also Joshua 24, verse 2. Joshua 24, verse 2. And Joshua said unto all the people, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood in old time, even Terah, the father of Abraham and the father of Nahor, and they served other gods. This shows that the law was known at the time of the flood and in the times of Jacob. And they knew that it was wrong to serve other gods. So they must have had the law that forbade such things. For other words, how would they know it? Jacob regarded it as sin to have other gods in his household. He must have been informed of that fact somehow. He knew the sinlessness of violating these laws and what would happen to him. So where there is no sin, there is no transgression of the law. The second commandment, Genesis 31. Genesis 31, 19 through 34. Genesis 31. I'll be just read verse 19 and verse 34. And Laban went to shear his sheep, and Rachel had stolen the images that were her father's. And first part of 34. Now Rachel had taken the images and put them into camel's furniture and sat upon them. Laban was a violator of the second commandment by having those images, and his daughter hid them so he couldn't worship them. Laban, we know, was not a true follower of God. He was an idolater. He violated God's law and worshiped images. Where there is no sin, there is no transgression of the law. Third commandment. This commandment of the Decalogue warning against profanity and taking the name of the Lord God in vain. And it's shown by at least one person that violated this commandment. And he was called a profane person. Genesis 25, verses 31 and 33. And we're talking about Esau and losing the birthright. The Apostle Paul comments on this experience of Esau in Hebrews 12, 16. Lest there be any fornicator, a profane person, as Esau. He failed to get the blessing of God. So he must have known the terrible sin of violating that third commandment. And it's been said, sin is not imputed where there is no law. Then the fourth commandment, knowing about the Sabbath, the seventh day of the week. It's been said that the Sabbath was given to the Jews, so it's Jewish. But by observing the teachings of Moses about this institution, we know that it was in existence before the law at Sinai. We read about that in Exodus chapter 16. Exodus chapter 16. And here we are reading about the manna that was given to them to collect it. Double portion on the sixth day. and not to collect any on the seventh day. We see there that it was not a new institution, and it couldn't have been new 3 months later when it was given on Sinai, when the law was given. And then the Lord repeats the statement that the people refused to obey His commandments and His laws. They must have had the law, or they at least certainly must have known about it. They violated His law, and God had already told them that they had violated it. Is there any command previously given to them? We can read about it in second chapter of Genesis, verses 1 through 3. We know that from Abraham. He gave it to Adam, the father of the race, as he rested on the seventh day after the creation. And then it was handed down, guarded sacredly, as a treasure from heaven. And we know that the law is a treasure from heaven. And it always has been in existence, in heaven and on this earth. And Jesus says the same thing to the people. The Sabbath was made for man, Mark 2:27. Clearly this command was known to the people before Sinai, before it was proclaimed among the thunders of Sinai. And then the fifth commandment, we know that this must have been enforced before the giving of the law on Sinai also. For how could the conduct of Jacob's brothers, or Jacob's sons, in selling Joseph to the Midianites be sinful? Genesis 37:27-28 talks about that. They abused their brother, they falsified to their father, and they certainly failed to honor their parents. Was there no command to respect parents? If so, the sons of Jacob never committed any sin against their father. But we read that was not the case. And then the sixth commandment. I believe very little needs to be said about this commandment. The first family violated it. Cain slew his brother, Genesis 4:8. John says that he killed his brother. And the Lord accused him of this deed also in Genesis chapter 4. Why was Cain accused of this violation and punished for the killing if there was no law forbidding it before Sinai? The Israelites must have known all of this. The record was handed down from father to son, from generation to generation. So it's clear that this commandment was known. And it was violated, as well as the other. The seventh commandment. To know the knowledge of this commandment and its violation, we can go to chapter 34 of Genesis, the story of Diana, the daughter of Leah and Jacob. And we know what happened there with Diana and the consequences after that. But then there's another case also. Joseph, again and again, being tempted by Potiphar's wife to betray the sacred trust of his master. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? Genesis 39:9. Where there is no law, there is no transgression. He evidently knew that the law against idolatry, it was in force. And if he would commit this terrible consequence, he would be sinning against his God. But sin is a transgression of the law, and the law which declares sin is generally known as a decalogue. And the eighth, the ninth, and tenth commandments. These three commandments were all in force, and they were violated by Jacob's brother, by Jacob, when he stole the blessing, and by Abraham when he twice falsified concerning his wife. So every one of the commandments must have been known. And it was in force before God gave them to the Israelites. This knowledge the people had lost, they needed to be awakened to reveal to them the sinful course of conduct that they were leading. And they needed to be prepared for the salvation that was to be revealed to them in the services and administrations of the sanctuary. God declared to them the basis of his government there upon Sinai, his wonderful law. Knowing the law, knowing that they violated, they were liable unto the penalty. And so are we today. It has death. And we're not talking just about that death, that sleep that each one of us will go to. It's that second death that was conquered by the Lord Jesus Christ on Sinai. On Calvary. But being able to realize their condition, knowing that they did not have a deliverer, so God would be able to reveal to them the deliverer through the sanctuary services, the truth of the Messiah, and a great salvation which would come through the Lord Jesus Christ. And the same thing for us today as we read about the sanctuary service and how it affected the Israelites and how that knowledge should affect us today. The Israelites were ignorant even of the law. God spoke among the mighty thunders of Sinai and its fiery law to the multitudes, and the people being afraid that they were going to die, asked Moses to speak to them instead of God. Exodus 20:19. Speak thou with us, and we will hear, but let not God speak to us, lest we die. Here they knew that they had sinned against God, and the punishment was death. I've already read in the beginning, Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 13, but 13 through 17 speaks of the awful state of their hearts. And the law spoke only of condemnation to them. Moses, instead, had no fear, no misgivings, that every precept of the law was filled with blessings. Every statement that was made meant life and salvation to him. They promised to heed these words that Moses gave to them that came from God. But in less than 40 days, they violated them. Chapter 32 of Exodus. But we know that Moses interposed for them. And most of them were saved. Also in Exodus 32. And we can be saved today if we obey these commandments. If we have that relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ is so desperately needed. And that through his merits alone, we may have eternal life. The law that Moses had was glory to him. And it showed in the shining of his face. That was his glory. But to the people it was darkness and condemnation. And it also to us it can be light. If we are the people of God. But to the unbelievers it's darkness and condemnation. And we know that it will come into judgment. But just after a short period of time, they violated that promise. And they realized that they ought to die. But then the Lord prepared Moses to impart to them the instructions given for the sanctuary services in building of the sanctuary and the reasons for it. And if the laws had been properly understood, the people would have been able to see Christ, their Messiah. All the attributes of the Bible is given in the law of God. And it's also inherent in Jesus Christ himself. He was simply the law of God in the flesh, Romans 8, 3 and 4. The attributes of God, the character of Christ. Love, truth, delight, perfect, sure, righteous, spiritual, peace, holy, unchangeable, eternal, liberty, good, just. All these are the attributes of Christ. And a great vital issue of the life of Christ while he was not here upon this earth was simply to reveal to the Jews and to the world the life principles of the law of God. And I pray that we have those laws written in our hearts today. Israel was not able to see the truth in the giving of the law. To them there was no law. As read before from Paul, Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that beholdeth. Romans 10:4. And there's a great lesson that we can learn today, is that there is a great need of seeing Jesus Christ in all the truths of the Bible. Everything pertains to Jesus from the beginning to the end. What if there was no law today? There would be no gospel. There would be no book. This book would be here if there was no law. Christ died for sin to take away its transgression. 1 Corinthians 15:3. He was manifested to take away sin. 1 John 3:5. And in him there is no sin. 1 Peter 2:22. The commandments. The law of God to live by. Right here. These laws. And we know that we can boil down these down to two. To love the God with all your heart, mind, and soul. And to love your neighbor as yourself. These to live by. And they're enforced even today as they were from the very beginning of creation. As we read in thy word, the attributes of our Lord Jesus Christ. As we look upon his life, especially here upon this earth, living in the flesh, showing us the Father. We just pray that we will have his character in our lives daily. And we know one day soon we will be with our Savior. It has been promised to us. We know that your promises are true, that you are trustworthy. So we just pray this day as we go from this place that we are your children forever and ever. And that these laws, these commandments, these statutes that you have given us through the prophets of old, we pray that we will live by them daily. We ask for these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.